about squeezing. You gotta put it in the perspective.
You're about to hear what many people consider obscene language and ideas that are offensive. They are also popular.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Welcome back to the Conspiracy Corner,
the podcast where we agree with each other about conspiracies.
I'm your host, Randy Wolf.
I'm your host, Grady DuPont. Last time we proved without a shadow of a doubt that Jay-Z and Beyonce are the leaders of the Illuminati.
This week, is Katy Perry actually JonBenet Ramsey?
Oh my God, is she?
Yes, she really is. Just look at the eyebrows. They're identical.
Please. I hate to say this about anyone, but that man is full of bologna.
Baloney.
You're right. He's so vile, we should use the crude Americanization of the word. He's full of baloney.
So how's Kevin? How's Cheddar? Come on, tell me everything.
Kevin is fine. Cheddar is a dog. He has no concept of good or bad.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. He's a very clever dog.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, I hate white people.
Right? Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you guys ready for something great?
Roll another one.
You gotta tear me apart, Lisa.
Just like the other one.
Oh my God, that's sexual.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Who on earth would listen to that?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's go.
It's our time to shine.
Let's go.
Start talking, butthead.
Roll another one.
Are you going to be comfortable with casual racism?
Just like the other one.
This is not good news, Albert.
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm sorry, what happened?
I don't have another cent.
Don't you know what I want?
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
Just pass it around.
This is awkward, guys, huh?
I like that.
And now.
Hey, can I say something real quick? I just want to say, I think we're going to have a great show today. So, yeah, have a great show today. Yesterday sucked.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abicho. It is Friday morning, the 21st of July. What's up, you guys?
Huh.
You know.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody say something.
It's a rough day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough day yesterday. Rough. It's going to be rough for a while, I think.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Very eloquent, Kevin. Very well put.
Well, I mean, what's up, you guys? Isn't really a much of a question to get an answer.
I just thought you guys might have something to say. it's okay.
This is how it's going to be, Kevin.
I mean, really?
Seriously.
I all right. I'll save that for another time. Yeah, it does suck. I agree.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and I know we'll be talking about our lead friend Chester Bennington a lot on the program today, and we'll certainly have room to include your thoughts. One of the things that I was thinking about yesterday that is maddening about this and so frustrating about this is not a guy who was unaware of the pitfalls of depression. It's one thing if a guy is struggling in silence and has no one to talk to and has no help and doesn't know what's happening to him and is just overwhelmed by the whole thing. Chester was so very in touch with his feelings and the demons that he faced with drugs and with alcohol and recovering from sexual abuse. I mean, this is a guy who on so many occasions was helping others. His fans that he would deal with in person or through the website, callers on shows like Loveline. I mean, this is a guy who really knew what the danger was here.
Yeah.
And even being completely aware of it, having every resource in the world available, it still got so dark for him that he couldn't see a way forward. And I think that's one of the things that I kept thinking about yesterday is, you know, the temptation a lot of times is to think, wow, what should I have done differently? I don't think there's anything anyone could have done differently in Chester's case. He had every tool and every kind of help available at his disposal, personally and professionally. And I think that's what makes it even harder to wrap your head around how something like that could happen to a guy like him.
Well, that's the thing with trauma. It's always there, and you can have the highest of highs and be on a really great path, and it just creeps up, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can be the most even keel, medicated, everything's fine. It doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter.
It does stick with you for the rest of your life.
Forever.
You just have to learn to manage it, but that's about it.
And this wasn't a case of a guy who went away and nobody heard from him for a month. You know what I mean? This is a guy who was active and busy and very involved in his kids' lives and his friends' lives, was on tour, just home, spending a few days before going back out on the road. By all accounts, the shows have been among the best Linkin Park has ever performed. I mean, like you said, Allie, outward appearance means nothing in this case because there's so much swelling on the inside.
Yeah. It means nothing in most cases. Yeah.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a little bit more shocking because of what Bean just said. He was aware of it. He was fighting it. He was getting help. So you sort of knew he was struggling, but you
I would think, and again, everything we know, and we'll talk to Dr. Drew later and others, but everything we know about this is even though they know there's a path and they know there's help available, there's something that prevents them from making that call to their sponsor or their partner or their buddy or whoever it is their go-to guy when they have trouble. He could have made a call to somebody and said, I'm overwhelmed right now. I need help. But this disease is so awful that it did not prevent him. It did not allow him to do that. And that's, that's what it just makes it even sadder.
And he had probably done that thousands of times.
Yeah, probably so.
Where it actually worked and helped and he was able to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tremendous loss for not only one of the nicest guys, we know in the business, but an unbelievably talented vocalist. I mean, the dude could sing anything.
Yeah.
Anything. So we'll talk a lot about Justin today. Hey, can I give you one more update on something else, though, before we move on?
Sure.
Because you're going to want to hear about this. I am withdrawing my remark yesterday about the thousands of people who are traveling to see the eclipse. Because you mocked me, Kevin.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's like absurd. Eight.
Like, where did that number even come
from? It's like eight to
Kevin,
nine
I'd,
people.
I'd stop.
I mean,
it's
how could
I
even just...
Easily under 10.
He's not
Why
doing
would
it
I even pull a number like
number
that
easily
out of my ass based on nothing?
Right.
Because it's stupid, because we don't know anyone who's doing it. So why would anyone do it?
Five or below.
The Washington Post reports in their article with their full eclipse coverage this morning that as many as 7 million Americans will migrate to the path of the total solar eclipse on August 21st, 1 month from today.
Well, we know Washington Post polls. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Fake news, right?
Fake news.
Right.
7 million people will travel to see the eclipse, by the way.
Come on.
One astronomer has said it will be...
No way!
Just denied.
That's a ridiculous number. No. Oh.
So my number of 1,000 is looking pretty good right now?
I think 1,000 is more viable.
7 million.
Come on.
One astronomer has said it will be...
Right.
One astronomer has said it will be the most photographed, most shared, most tweeted event in human history.
No.
It will be the biggest astronomical event America has seen in years.
No.
Some eclipse enthusiasts have spent years preparing for the solar spectacle. The first eclipse across the entire continental United States in almost a century. There's in-depth, deep-dive coverage in the Post this morning if you are now fascinated with the eclipse and you need to know more.
What if you're not?
Yeah. Well, what about those people, those 7 million people?
You can't avoid it, guys. It's too big. It's swallowing you up.
It's funny that you would say that because I've seen nothing or heard nothing except for from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, 7 million. I'm just pointing out this.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why all these lies? Why is it lie after lie after lie?
Right, that's what we're asking Bean.
Yeah.
We do have to talk about Chester Bennington today, and we will. We also have Dr. Drew on to talk about suicide and other issues. We have Eli Roth, who's going to be on because Shark Week is back, and he does Shark After Dark, which is great. Brand new Internet Roundup on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Keep It 100 because it's Friday.
Allie, we found out fights with total strangers on the phone.
Listen.
It's odd.
Listen. Stay tuned for that story. Because
it's really weird.
Seriously.
Kevin Spacey will be on the show today.
What?
Kevin Spacey.
Like a car dealer named Kevin Spacey?
No, no, the actor.
Oh, really? I see what you're saying there, Allie. It's we found a guy who shares the name
right.
of the Academy Award winning actor.
That's what I was doing.
I get it.
Yeah. No, it's the actual Kevin Spacey.
That is
how about that?
Surprising.
Yeah. And the movie beat, because it's Friday as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is the world famous K-Rock at the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Ralph Garman is in San Diego at Comic-Con 2017, and Ralph, you should be able to hear us and be heard on the air. How are you, sir?
I just made that happen, or someone did.
Congratulations.
Anyway, yes, likewise.
How was it last night hanging out with Catwoman?
It was awesome. Great event last night. We did a celebration tribute to Adam West, and it was me and Lee Merriweather, who played Catwoman in the 60s Batman movie, and Kevin Smith, and myself, and James Tucker, who was the director of the most recent animated Batman films with Adam. And so we really had a great night and a big turnout, and it was very nice.
Well, I know you're going to have a lot to talk about from Comic-Con today and a lot of things for the Showbiz Beat, but we thought we'd start this morning just because, you know, there was so much going on yesterday with the Chester stuff. Also, the OJ stuff was happening at the same time. Now, Kevin, you get a chance to watch much of the juice at his parole hearing?
I did. I honestly thought he was trying to stay in jail.
Yeah, he was really trying to tank it.
Yeah, I was like, this guy is really happy where he is.
I saw so many people online going, he's about to Atlanta Falcons this.
Yes.
He was so close. So for folks who don't know, he was eligible for parole. Remember, he was sentenced to 33 years in jail for that armed robbery in Las Vegas, that sports memorabilia that he claims was just his stuff he was trying to get back. So yesterday was the parole hearing, and if it went well, and if the board agreed, he was going to be released after 9 years, and that's coming up on October 1st. But he talks too much. He needed an attorney to lean over and whisper, "Hey, Juice, short answers, man.
He needed
short
a answers. Shock collar."
Exactly. And here was the moment that stood out to me that I honestly have one too. Okay, yeah. With a straight face, the fact that O.J. Simpson said these words:
"I'm no danger to pull a gun on anybody. You know, I never have in my life. I've never been accused of it in my life. Nobody's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them."
Okay. No one's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them. Didn't he stand trial for murdering two people with a knife?
But yeah, those people never accused him.
Pretty well documented.
What? I'm sorry, what, Ralph?
I said those people never accused him.
The people that he killed?
Yeah, the people that he pulled the knife on. They never accused him of anything.
I just thought
He said that or a variation of that many, many times.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, and by the way, and also this.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life.
What about all the times the police had to come to your house because you were beating the crap out of your wife? I mean, does that sound conflict-free to O.J.?
Yeah,
has he just forgotten? Is he one of these guys who just, is he just in his head, he's the juice, so he's all that?
I don't know.
I think he's just compulsive about trying to cleanse his reputation even now. Even if it goes back to him, he needs desperately to be the juice he was in 1975, and he's still arguing that case about how clean he is, how he's not to blame for anything.
Yeah, I mean, even though he willfully, voluntarily participated in an armed robbery, he spent so much time yesterday as if he were the victim, as if he were forced to do it.
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
My favorite question and answer was, the woman said, "The last time we met in this parole hearing, you said you were going to go to AA. Did you?"
Right.
And he said words to the effect of, "No, but I'm the commissioner of our softball league."
Yes, he did say that.
I was like, what's happening? Are you kidding?
And this won't surprise you, Ralph. Dennis Hoff has figured out a way to insert himself into the story.
Sure.
He is the owner of the Bunny Ranch in Carson City, Nevada, and he is offering O.J. Simpson a job. He says, look, if he wants to stay in Nevada, one of the conditions of his parole is that he has to be employed. I'm going to offer him a job as a greeter here at the Buddy Ranch.
Oh, God.
So well, that would make you lose your boner.
Right?
Trying to kill business?
So he could live and work there at the Buddy Ranch. However, the girls are protesting vehemently, saying that she, Brooklyn Moore is quoted in the TMZ article, saying that she and other ladies who work there at the Buddy Ranch will leave. They will quit and leave if OJ is there. And I don't blame a pretty blonde lady for maybe not right. wanting OJ under the same roof as her full time, right?
Right.
And this was an interesting quote, too. She also said, the last thing we need is another link to the Kardashian clan coming around to ruin our business and jeopardize our safety, which I assume is some remark about
Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom, with overdosing there. So
it's funny though. The first thing they think of is how horrible the Kardashians are when faced with a double murderer, maybe living and working with them. Yeah, okay. Look, we'll take murderers, but he knows the Kardashians.
That's even worse. Well, we don't know what OJ's plans are yet. I mean, I think it is expected that he is going to move back to Florida, but that is something that is going to have to be approved by the.
I'm going to move back to Florida. I could stay here, but I assume you don't want me. He said.
He did say that.
Oh, crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see the whole thing. Did he say anything about resuming his search for the real killer? Is that on the agenda at all?
No, I didn't see it either, but I can guarantee you no.
Probably not. All right. So we'll leave it there for now. We got a lot more stuff coming up. So, Ralph, you'll be with us all morning long from San Diego?
I will, sir.
I love it. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Well, reflect more on our friend Chester Bennington coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Abine Show on KROQ. And by the way, we'd love to include your texts if you have thoughts or feelings you'd like to express on the topic. You're welcome to at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to text us. And by the way, Kevin Spacey on the show in less than an hour as well. Nervous about that. Ralph, Kevin Spacey, what about that?
That's ridiculous.
You should be nervous. That's what about that.
All right, it is Friday. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
We're going to take a look at four new movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend, starting with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Luc Besson's new film. He is a legend, of course, in science fiction circles, mostly for his visuals, sometimes less than for the performances he gets out of the actors. In this film, it's about a metropolis called Alpha, which is a home to a species from a thousand different planets, which allows him to play with a lot of CGI. And perhaps his two biggest special effects are Dane DeHaan and Cara Delevingne trying to act. And there they are. Marauding and safeguarding and protecting, and I don't know. I haven't seen the film. I know one reviewer said, we don't have to worry about who's going to win any more Razzies at the end of the year. So we'll see what happens. Who knows? But here are some clips from the very loud, Kevin, you'll be happy to know, trailer of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
After centuries of peace and prosperity, an unknown force wants to destroy all we have created.
Agents Valerian and Laureline, you have less than 10 hours to find the threat and eliminate it.
How to get to work. Your destiny is in your hands.
Okay.
Sounds pretty loud.
There's that.
I like it.
They run around a lot and shoot things. Landline is in limited release this weekend. It's the name of a movie starring Jenny Slate. Boy, she's just blowing up. She's everywhere these days. Jay Duplass, John Turturro also in the film. This is a movie about a teenager living with her sister and parents in Manhattan and discovers that her father is having an affair. Here are some clips from the trailer.
Dad's having an affair? Oh, my God. Why does he sometimes refer to himself as her Pillsbury Doughboy?
Oh, it's because he calls his junk dough?
Oh Jesus. God. Just broke my brain. Is this a drug deal? Are you buying drugs?
Shut up, trash bag.
Take a better look, cool guy. I'm a California raisin.
When was the last time anybody in this house ever even looked at me?
I love you guys so much, even when you make me crazy.
You are really a weird little bird, you know that?
Yeah, I just want you to be happy.
Oh, I love Jenny Slate.
I do, too. And this is the same director she worked with last year for that Obvious Child movie, too, which I hear was wonderful. So that's a good combination.
Julian Robespierre.
Like it.
Also coming out this weekend is Girls Trip. Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Tiffany Haddish. Chew scenery until there's nothing left in this film about four lifelong friends who travel to New Orleans to visit Bean.
All right.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They go for the annual Essence Festival.
for Celebrate Black Women. Also, does Bean. Bean likes
to
celebrate.
They might have run
black
into me
too.
There. You don't know, man.
Here's some clips from the trailer.
Lord, please make sure that Lisa don't get an STD and that nobody has kidney failure, because we finna get messed up. And let me get pregnant by somebody rich. That's all I ask. Amen.
We need a girl's trip. That's my car.
Not anymore, baby.
What if I just whip out my... You know I got some bomb-ass kush if you want to take a hit.
Where did you hide?
Where the sun don't shine.
You know what? It can cause a lot of infection.
Girl, you can't get no infection in your...
Oh. Oh, dear.
Kevin?
Wow.
Kevin?
Yep.
You in?
That's Kevin's movie.
I mean,
Kevin's
I haven't seen the trailer yet. I haven't seen the trailer yet.
But you heard it. That's all you need. I'll
watch the trailer.
He's still laughing.
I'll laugh, but watch it.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, me people.
That movie sounds like Four Medeas.
Yes,
they should have called it Four Medeas. And lastly, Dunkirk is the big blockbuster for the weekend. Christopher Nolan, of course, is already winning Oscars, and the movie hasn't even come out yet. About the Allied soldiers from Belgium and the British Empire in France who are surrounded by the German army and have to evacuate during a fierce battle in World War II. Some say one of the fiercest. It looks like it's just all things to everyone. Here are some clips from the trailer of Dunkirk.
What has happened is a colossal military disaster.
The call went out. We have to go to Dunkirk. Ready on the stern line.
What are you doing? You know where we're going.
Into war, George.
I'll be useful, sir.
They've activated the civilian boats.
Civilians? We need destroyers.
Where are we going?
Dunkirk.
I'm not going back.
We know they will die.
You're weekend sailors, not the bloody Navy.
There's no hiding from this sun. We have a job to do.
Does anything look better?
No. Looks so good.
And I'll tell you, everyone is saying it. Not only is it visually masterful, but you capture the emotions and the characters of the people involved in the story exceptionally well. So it really looks like there's a balance of the best of both worlds.
And Christopher Nolan, how do you rank him in terms of directors working today, Ralph?
Well, in terms of epic kind of stuff, you know, visually impressive, emotionally impactful film, I mean, he's one of the best, obviously.
Yes,
that's my pick for the weekend. Sure. Dunkirk. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
That band Linkin Park, a huge part of K-Rock for many, many years.
Yeah, they sure are. I was on with Kat yesterday, and I was talking about the first time you and I ever met him, Kevin, when it was at that the Best Buy parking lot in Westminster, I think it was. And we've talked about it on the air before with the guys when they've come in, and it's just the intensity and the passion of Chester. Remember vomiting before he went up on stage because he was so nervous. But nobody loved his fans. Nobody loved his fans more than all the guys in Linkin Park, Chester in particular. I mean, I saw so many stories yesterday about people who went to these Linkin Park meet and greets or hung out after a show. And Chester, you know, you think it'd be so easy after doing a 2-hour show, the first thing you want to do is get out of that building and get to the hotel or whatever. Chester stood around and met with and talked to every single person he could.
Yeah.
And you saw it many times, Kevin.
Yeah, and didn't cut it short so he could move on to the next person either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was so connected with people.
Which sometimes annoyed the next person, but but it was really cool of him.
Brittany writes in from Montclair. Hearing the news about Chester Bennington yesterday was completely and utterly tragic, and the worst part for me was this. Growing up listening to Linkin Park's music, I personally, like many others, was going through a lot of tough times, a lot of times which I felt were extremely difficult to deal with. And the thought of just ending it and not having to deal with them anymore would sometimes loom over me. But hearing their songs, not just the sadness and the pain, but also the passion and the will to keep going, would get me through even the most painful of experiences and thoughts. So to know this is how things ended for Chester is especially hard to deal with, because many people look to Linkin Park and their music to keep them going. I'm trying not to let this news about his passing make me lose hope. Mental illness affects everyone at any time, and I deeply hope that those like myself who struggle with it every day will find the strength. Thank you, Brittany, for sharing your story and letting us know how much Linkin Park helped you, and I hope that there'll be something else that can help you going forward as well. But that's so beautifully put, and I'm sure the band would appreciate knowing how helpful they were to you through the tough years.
Part of the torturing of Chester and his mind started in Phoenix. I mean, he was born there. He's the youngest of four children. His mom and dad divorced when he was 11. He had frequent molestation, he said, between 7 and 13.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff, people who don't – we run a charity for abused women and children, and you see this all the time. That kind of childhood trauma is with you until you die. You might learn to manage it, but it doesn't go away.
Mm-mm.
And that's why it's – for me personally, you see the law of – what do you call it when you can no longer get charged for a crime?
Statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations. There shouldn't be any.
Absolutely not.
For any crime where it sticks with you until the day you die. And that's part of the trouble that Chester had. And here Chester is talking about some of his struggles with depression.
My whole life I've just kind of felt a little off, and – I find myself like getting into these patterns of like behavior or thought, and especially when I'm like stuck up here.
He's pointing to his head when I'm stuck up here in his own head.
I like to say that like this is like a – I heard somebody say this once and it like stuck with me. But this is like a bad neighborhood. You know what I mean? And I should not go walking alone. And most of my problems are always problems that I cause myself. And that's really what the song's about, is that conscious – that time where you consciously look at that, and then once you acknowledge what it is, you can separate yourself from it and do something about it, as opposed to just being in it.
So he had problems like that, but he also spent a lot of his time helping his friends that had problems like that.
Yeah.
And here's a clip talking about Music Cares. It's a charity that helps musicians that are going through this type of trouble, and they'll ask people to sing or perform occasionally. And here's Chester talking about how he felt about that.
Music Cares MAP Fund is what, Chester?
Well, it was established in 1989, and it provides a safe net for critical substance or critical assistance for people with substance abuse, financial emergencies, medical emergencies, personal things that are going on in their lives that they need help with. They treat it with, you know, really high integrity and confidentiality. 2004, Music Cares acquired MAP, the Musicians Assistance Program, and developed the Music Cares MAP Fund to provide members of the music community with access to addiction recovery treatment and sober living needs. For guys who are struggling with some hardcore drug addictions, you know,
of course,
this is a great way to get care. You know, I've cleaned myself up a little bit, and I started getting asked to do these performances, and you know, I just never say no. So when my friends call me up and say, hey, you know, we're playing at this MAP Fund, it helps musicians out, would you be interested in coming down and playing some songs with us? I say yeah. So I show up, I play, people come see the shows, and I've done that several times. And so ever since then, every time Matt calls me up and asks me if I can do anything, always just say yes.
Yeah, very sweet, generous guy with his time, with his compassion for others. That's for sure.
We do have a tribute for Chester, and then we're going to move on with the show, and we'll revisit a little bit later on as well.
How are you feeling? Y'all ready for the show? I think we're ready.
What's up? This is Chester from Lincoln Park, and you're listening to the world famous K-Ro.
These are my boys. I think you recognize them as Lincoln Park.
Bastards.
Night number one here of Acoustic Christmas. I'm Stryker, and I appreciate you guys so much. We have another band about to come out here. Are you guys ready for this band? Here they come, Linkin Park, everybody, Linkin Park.
Chester Bennington joins us in studio from the band Linkin Park. How are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great.
You know, one of the cool things about doing these breakfasts, guys, and we've been doing them for a long time, is, you know, it's fun for us, obviously, to see you up close and personal, but we love giving the listeners the opportunity to ask you questions personally. And you all have always been so involved with your listeners.
From our point of view, it's like, if you don't pay attention to your fans and you don't, you know, give them the respect that they deserve for supporting you and
and coming to your shows and learning all your music. It's like, what's the point of doing it?
NOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Academy Award-winning actor Kevin Spacey and one of the stars of Baby Driver, one of the best films of 2017, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, we go to San Diego. Ralph Garman is standing by now. Apparently, this Comic-Con is a popular thing that a lot of folks attend, Ralph?
I would say there's well over 100 people here.
Wow.
Yeah. You can you almost run into people when you walk down the street. It's crazy.
Well,
no, of course, it's the biggest social and pop culture event of the year, and it is just wall-to-wall madness, and it's so much fun. It's always a blast every year.
I was watching the Channel 4 News yesterday afternoon, and they were showing opening the doors to the public at the convention center, and there were just people as far as the eye could see lined up waiting to get in there.
Did
yesterday.
You break out just watching that?
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking.
Bean wishes he was here so badly.
Too many people.
All right. Ralph is going to be down at San Diego all morning long, checking in on the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Well, of course, we'll be talking all morning long about the tragic death of Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington. So we don't need to cover that here, but I would like to take an opportunity to give out the hotline for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If you're having thoughts about suicide or you know someone who is, there's always someone available to talk to, and that number is 1-800-273-TALK, 8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK, and there's always someone there to talk to. So, look, no one's going to stop anyone from doing what they want to do, but you want to give them every chance, every possible chance to survive. So, keep that in mind.
Right on.
O.J. Simpson is on the road to freedom. That's good news, right?
Is it? I mean, I don't think we need him out in the Gen Pop, no.
But he said he basically led a conflict-free life.
He did have the balls to say that.
He's never had any conflict with anyone.
Yeah. Huh.
He also told Nevada that he was sorry that it happened when he and his friends stole that stuff at gunpoint, all those sports memorabilia items. He said, I thought I was going to get my stuff back. But 9 years wasn't worth it, he said in closing. Maybe he'd be sorry if there was guns pulled on people, more so than that you didn't get your stuff
back. I
got
to tell you, I feel like they sort of had to release him because everything he said was wrong. It felt like all of his answers were, he needs to stay in jail. And then they let him out anyway.
Wait. All of his answers indicated he needed to stay in jail?
Correct, yes. Yes, Ralph. I'm saying he wouldn't take responsibility for stuff. He said he was a model citizen. He said he never fought anyone.
But that's not a jailable offense. Because he didn't answer the way you wanted him to answer doesn't mean he belongs in jail.
No, but aren't they looking to see if he's been...
A little remorse, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, he did say he was sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Paul, look, I'm not defending the guy, but he didn't do anything in that hearing that would cause him to be put back in jail.
No, the way he was leading his life in jail, there was no way they weren't going to release him.
Of course.
Just
and
by
age,
the letter of the law.
Right. And he had done the minimum amount. I mean, everything pointed to his being released.
Right. But I mean, like, even the parole board would ask him. They said, we talked to you 2 years ago. You said you would go to AA. You said you would do this. You said you would do that. And to every one of them, he said he didn't do it.
Yeah, he didn't complete a lot of the courses he
right.
was supposed to.
I mean, I don't know. It just seemed like he was not trying that hard.
Kanye West is in the news. Very nice of Kanye West to give a gift to a young man who is paralyzed from the shoulders down after a horrific car accident in 2013. As I mentioned, this is a paralyzed young gentleman named Tyler Wesley. And Kanye West sent him a note and a gift, which I thought was nice. The gift, a pair of Yeezy sneakers.
Oh, no.
I mean...
Who should be in jail now, Kevin?
'Cause baby, I'm awesome. Also.
He's paralyzed.
I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Right.
does seem a little tone deaf.
Yeah.
I mean, people in wheelchairs still wear shoes, but they don't really need, you know.
They don't go through a lot of them.
No, they don't. Just the one pair will do.
They don't wear them out. That's what I'm saying. Probably doesn't need the Yeezy Boost 350 V2s.
I mean, he could sell them on eBay, I guess. There's some money there.
Look at Bean. Always Mr. Brightside.
Right? He really
always
is.
Seeing that silver lining.
Yeah. Nothing but positive from Bean.
That's right. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays today. Singer Yusuf Islam is 69 years old today. Better known, of course, as Cat Stevens.
You know, I loved him.
I lost my virginity to a Cat Stevens song.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Cat Stevens.
Oh, that would have
been
awesome.
A hell of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly, it wasn't the Cat Stevens version of Wild World. It was Maxi Priest, but I mean...
Wow.
Well, sure.
What's more romantic than that?
Nothing.
Yeah. You ever see their the Little Person cover band of that band? Mini Priest?
Stop it.
John Lovitz is 60 years old today. Cartoonist Gary Trudeau, who, of course, brought us Doonesbury, 69 years old today. Norman Jewison, legendary movie director, is 91 years old. Allie Landry, actress and model, friend of the show, 44 years old. Eric Bazillion. You know that name, Bean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
One of the co-founders and co-writers and co-singers of the Hooters, ladies and gentlemen.
Goddamn right. Best rock band ever come out of Philadelphia, the Hooters. 64 years old today.
He wrote Time After Time, Kevin.
He sure did.
All right. That's a pretty good song.
Josh
Cindy
Hartnett's...
Lauper, Time After Time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool. They were friends. Josh Hartnett's 39 years old today. And Fitz of Fitz in the Tantrums celebrates his 47th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Kevin Spacey next.
Look, we're in no way qualified to speak to Kevin Spacey. I mean, this show is not of the caliber that he should be appearing on.
Right.
But it's not helping having our producer and our assistant producer going, hey, guys, don't blow it. This is really important. No pressure, you guys. Like, don't put that on us, all right? We're nervous enough already. From a rooftop in London, I'm told, Academy Award winner Kevin Spacey joins us on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show. Kevin, are you there, sir?
I am, and it's...
Wow. That's a start.
No added pressure there.
That's one of the best opening sentences I've ever heard. Kevin, what can you see from where you're standing right now? What's in front of you?
I can see St. Paul's Cathedral.
Ooh, wow. Beautiful.
So what at least I'll be able to say a prayer on my way down.
What are you doing up there, by the way? You're at some sort of a fancy function or what?
No, it's London is relatively well known for its rooftop restaurants and hotels. So I'm here. I thought I'd better have a couple of drinks before I spoke to you guys.
Good move.
Well, the reason Kevin is on the phone right now is because Baby Driver is currently in theaters, and it's one of the most popular movies of the year, one of the best movies of the year. And I think your message here today is if you haven't seen it yet, Kevin, you're a bad person, right?
No, you're just driving too slow to the movie theater. You know, put your foot on the gas.
Was this a completely different experience than even in your long career with as many different kinds of roles you've played? There's nothing like working for Edgar Wright, is there?
Oh, he's amazing. And really the big major reason I wanted to do it, aside from the fact that I thought it was a great script and he was assembling a really amazing cast, some actors that I've known and worked with before and others I've just gotten drunk with. And we had a really good time. We shot the film in Atlanta. And, you know, Edgar he's one of those directors who I think he already kind of has the movie cut, edited in his head maybe even when he writes it. Because unlike most movies where, you know, you'll write a script and then you'll go shoot the movie and then you sort of try to decide what is the score going to be or what kind of music we're going to use. He writes it knowing every single track that he wants to have in every single scene. So when you actually get the script for the first time, it also comes with a disc, and you're able to read the script listening to the music that's actually going to play in that scene.
Oh, wow.
I wondered if writing music into the script, which is apparently not advised, it's a difficult thing to do, does that change your acting at all, or is it all in the editing?
Well, it only changes in the sense that there are some scenes where Edgar wants you to literally be doing things physically in the beat of the rhythm of the music.
And you have to be aware of that while doing the scene?
Yeah, yeah. And so you may have noticed I said that in the beat of the music that's in my head right now.
Heard it. Yep.
So he has a big effect. It's true. They put an earbud in your ear, and you are literally listening to the track so that whatever you're doing, there was one scene where I had to count out money, and he wanted me to literally be counting it on the beat. And so then once the dialogue starts, the music stops playing in your ear. But up to that point, you're sort of obligated to stay in the rhythm.
Was there a rhythm test before this was cast? Like, what if you couldn't count money to the beat of the rhythm?
Well, I've always been able to count money to the beat of the rhythm.
All right, Kevin. I see what you're doing.
Kevin, you've been in a lot of different movies. Have you ever experienced something like that before?
No, not really. I mean, no, because most of the time when you're making a film, you know, unless it's a musical and you are, you know, you're doing songs that you've pre-recorded, usually you have no idea what's going to end up being the score or whether a scene will even have music in it at all. This is definitely a first.
We are talking to Kevin Spacey on the phone about the film in theaters right now called Baby Driver. I have to ask, Kevin, since we have you on the phone, these days, the tumultuous political climate in which we live, particularly here in America, do you get a lot of people walking up to you on the street who wish that there were a real President Frank Underwood?
You know, I could probably run, and I wouldn't even have to have a platform, although Netflix is a platform, so maybe I could. there's lots of people who say all kinds of different things, both people who support President Trump and those who don't support President Trump, and those who are fascinated by politics and those who deplore politics. What we've tried to do on House of Cards is just stay true to who we are, not really compete with the real world. It's interesting, every season that people see things that they compare or they say, oh, you must have taken that from the headlines. But in actuality, we write our scripts about a year before the show comes on the air. And generally what has happened in every season is we will do three or four or five or six things in terms of a plot line or a storyline or an event. And then sometime between when we shoot it and when the series drops, something very similar to what we've done actually happens in the real world. And I'm always like, people are going to think we stole this. Yeah. So actually we did it first. We were a bit prophetic.
One of our favorite comedies is Veep. And we asked them sort of the same question, which is what happens when real politics is so much more weird than your fictional kind?
Well, all I can say about that is, Veep is funnier.
Right.
Definitely funnier.
Right.
Than anything going on in politics now. And I think on House of Cards, I think we simply have better writers.
Kevin Spacey on the line, Baby Driver in theaters right now. You got to do something kind of different in this Baby Driver movie. Is there something still you haven't been able to do yet on film, Kevin, that you want to? A kind of movie or a kind of role that you've never gotten to play before?
I definitely want to do a kick-ass, revenge kind of Liam Neeson kind of, save someone, and kick-ass all along the way.
Yeah.
Do you have that very specific set of skills?
I really wouldn't challenge me at a point like
okay.
this.
Okay. That's an acceptable answer.
Kevin Spacey has a way in his movies. And you see this in Baby Driver, but you've seen it in a lot of movies where he has that look that he gives you where he's just turned on you and you realize he could kill you.
Yeah.
And I think he just did that to Kevin with just his voice.
Do you guys think he could kill me through the phone?
Absolutely.
I do. I think he's that. That's how his skills work. That's
all
crazy.
I want right now is to have cocktails with Kevin Spacey. That's it. That's all I want in life.
All right. Well, listen.
That's an awesome idea. Wait. Hang on. Let's just stay on that idea.
All right. Yes.
What would be your cocktail of choice?
Oh, gosh. I was just in London, and I drank a lot of gin. So
gin.
I did like gin, but I think I would probably go with a scotch with you and just drink it slow and have great combos.
I might have a Tom Collins.
Well, that would be delightful.
I haven't heard the words Tom Collins in years.
I like it.
All right. Kevin, you are you're one of our favorites. We go see anything you're in anyway, but man, this Baby Driver is killer, and I hope that the audience will take our suggestion and go see it if they haven't yet. There's a lot of good movies out right now, but there's only one Baby Driver, and you are a delight, sir. We very much appreciate you joining us, as you do from time to time on the Kevin
Thank
BJ.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful day. You're way up way too early.
Okay. Bye-bye. Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the program today. It is Friday. That means we will keep it 100 right around 9 o'clock, and Eli Roth joins us next hour. This Shark Week, by the way.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is awesome, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Eli Roth, our friend, the director, actor, is going to be back as the host of Shark After Dark. And I hope he gets that riveting Michael Phelps on to talk about what it's like to race a shark. I hope we get to see that interview.
Blah, 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 blah. I hope he talks about sharks. Blah, blah, blah.
Roland?
Where are you guys?
We're doing the radio show like we are every morning at this time.
But you're not in Comic-Con?
Yeah, we're bummed about that, too. But the station said, frankly, no.
This is the greatest Comic-Con ever.
Is
it's
it?
Going off.
This one's really? Better than all the other. Okay.
I just woke up. I am so hungover.
What did you do last night, Roland?
I went to a party.
Okay.
And I was drinking what they told me was Romulan ale.
Okay.
And the next thing I know, I passed out and I woke up and I looked on my butt. And I've got a Tatooine. Literally a tattoo of the planet Tatooine.
Okay. Wow.
On my ass.
Well, that's appropriate for you. That doesn't sound like something you'll regret.
Oh, it's amazing. I met up with these guys, really nice guys, and they invited me back to their room for a lightsaber battle.
Right.
Oh.
Not what I expected at all. I gotta tell you that much.
Okay.
Not what I expected.
Now you
but the events down here are amazing. I've been walking around, and they've got this incredible. If you're coming down to San Diego, make sure you check out the futurism and tech display at the Omni Hotel. It's all futuristic stuff and technology, and all the technology of the future. It's unbelievable. It's like time travel down here. I'm going down back today to pitch my new invention.
Oh, I didn't know you had one.
I do. It's called the Racelet.
It's called the what?
The racelet.
The racelet, all right.
Yes, it's a bracelet that you wear that tells an app on other people's phones what race you are.
Huh. Why would you need to know that?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
I just love the name racelet.
Okay.
All right.
You meet someone, you check your phone, you go, oh, you're Indonesian? I would have guessed Hindu.
Okay. All right, that's a very specific app. But okay.
Good luck with that.
And there's also going to be a Viking funeral today down at the marina.
Oh, no.
No actual Vikings died.
Okay.
You don't need to be upset.
It's a tie-in with the show, right?
Oh.
Exactly, yeah. But they're going to have a funeral pyre floating out there in the marina. It sounds like a great time.
It does.
And the smoke from the fire will likely cover up the BO of all the people down here on the convention floor.
Wow, you said something negative about Comic-Con. I never thought I'd see the day rolling.
Every booth is crowded at Comic-Con except for the Right Guard booth where they're handing out free samples. These people do not smell good.
I understood. Yeah,
right.
A lot of ladies down there at Comic-Con, though. Are you nervous around all those pretty ladies? Or are you do okay down there, Roland?
Not with my new tattoo. I'm not. I can't
all
wait
right.
to show them.
Mm.
Hey, look at the planet on my ass.
I don't. Maybe don't.
And it's not Uranus.
That's a good icebreaker.
Maybe don't lead with that. I don't think that's a good icebreaker.
Oh crap!
Yeah, too late.
Yeah.
What else are you doing this weekend, Roland?
I'm doing everything. I'm going to see all the panels.
Well, you
I'm
can't do everything.
Watch me.
Well, I mean, it's not pot.
That's why God invented cocaine.
Wow, Roland.
You guys are missing out. Maybe I'll see you next year.
Yeah,
maybe.
I hope so as well.
Yeah. There's right. no button, Kevin. I don't have one here.
What does that mean, Roland?
I don't know. Just saying.
Anytime? Are you saying anytime?
What
I'll
else
see,
is going
I'll
on?
See guys, I'll see you guys next year.
Linkin Park there on K-Rock all day long. Of course, we are remembering our late friend Chester Bennington, getting a lot of texts at 1-800-520-1067. This one from the 626. The loss of Chester is completely devastating. I grew up listening to the band Linkin Park. Their music helped me through some rough times and my mom get through some pretty intense chemo. She said their music made her want to fight through and not give up. Chester is going to be extremely missed. Yeah, he is. One of the first persons I thought of when I saw the news yesterday was Dr. Drew Pinsky. who knows so much about these sorts of mental health issues. And obviously, Drew, you spent a lot of time with Chester on Loveline over the years as well, right?
I did, and while Chester had some certainly struggles with substances and was very honest and open about when he was in trouble and not, and very much engaged when he was in the program, I never saw any real serious depressive symptoms. He was always a joyous, welcoming, delightful human being. I mean, I that's still to this moment how I think of him.
That's how I think of him, too. He's the kindest, yeah. nicest, almost yeah. soft, which is strange to say about a guy who has that powerful of a voice.
If you, in fact, when I first met him, I was confused. I was trying to figure out, well, who's the singer? Wait a minute.
Right.
And you know, leaving behind the kids and the wife, it's just beyond tragic. Whatever the source of this, whatever the cause of this is, it's a tragedy of, you know, untold proportion, as was Chris Cornell, and just the weird irony of it being on his birthday, Chris Cornell's birthday, that is. I don't want to make too much of what that was or what that meant or what that could have, how that could have played a role in Chester's demise.
A lot of people were suggesting it was a trigger. Is that a common thing that you've seen happen before?
No, I wouldn't call it common, but anniversaries certainly do make depressions worse. And again, until we know more about what happened here, I don't want to speculate, but it is an opportunity to remind people, if indeed depression was the issue here, or substance, both, you have to remember, are potentially fatal illnesses. Depression because of suicide risk, and as substance use, obviously because of accidental overdoses, as well as medical problems, as well as suicide and accidents. And you can just go on from there with substance abuse.
Now, Dr. Drew, you mentioned that you had seen him many times, and we have as well, and that there was never any outward sign of depression. Is that normal?
That's common. I mean, think of Mr. Stucco, Mike Cathwood, who I do radio with every day. Do you think of him as a depressed person?
No.
And yet he complains of chronic depressive symptoms all the time. And every time he opens up about it, I'm always surprised. You know, I'm like, Jesus, come on, man. And it's just, you know, particularly if you have substance history, you can injure your brain in such a way that the mood centers just can't support a stable affect. They just, you're always sort of down. And Mike complains about this all the time. He mentioned to me that he felt that Mike mentioned that Chester had some of the similar stuff he had sort of talked to him about. But, you know, nothing. Usually when people have chronic depression, somebody knows that they have been struggling and that they're unhappy. So I guess more to be revealed if indeed that is the case with Chester. And again, with the incidence of childhood trauma these days, the incidence of substance abuse, the incidence of broken relationships and families, you know, depression is really common.
We were talking earlier about childhood trauma and how that doesn't ever really go away. You just have to learn to manage it as you live life. Talk to that a little bit about how...
Well, it's the way I think of it is, you know, really significant childhood trauma. We're talking about interpersonal trauma, neglect, abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, this kind of stuff. It causes a part of your brain to sort of wall off from the rest of the brain. You literally lose wiring into a part of yourself. And that piece of self, that piece of brain, is still there and it's still active. It's just not part of your consciousness. It feels like it's, oh, I dealt with that. It's out there in the distance somewhere. But in fact, it's something that needs attention and demands attention. It creates unpleasant feelings and it creates unpleasant behaviors. And people are sort of surprised sometimes at the choices they made, and oftentimes that's a piece of traumatized self sort of motivating that. And to get better, there are armies of specialists now, because it is so common, armies of people out there ready to help you if you want to get involved with it. And it's really about finding an inroad back into that piece and integrating the rest of yourself in with that little piece so you're an integrated, flexible, regulated whole. Otherwise, it's a piece of yourself generating unpleasant and often depressive feelings.
And is it possible to get past that without dealing with it directly, or?
Well, it's not about dealing with it. It's about, people get misunderstand that. It's not you have to revivify or relive the feelings. You have to just find a way to get that part of yourself present in with the rest, whether it's emptiness or whatever horrible feeling is sitting there, has to be sort of accessed. And you won't do that by yourself. You can't. It requires a skillful person to get you there, and it's an intersubjective injury. It happens in an interpersonal context, and it's healed in an interpersonal context.
We're talking to our friend Dr. Drupinski here on the phone about our late friend Chester Bennington and the whole band of Linkin Park.
I just interviewed Dave Navarro. He has a lot of this same stuff. He complains of chronic feelings of emptiness and depression. Is actually getting highly specialized therapies now just for that.
Speaking of Dave Navarro, speaking of Chester Bennington, speaking of Chris Cornell, possibly, I know that people of all ages and races and backgrounds and occupations commit suicide, but when something like this happens for a famous person, it's in the news. And I wonder, Dr. Drew, since you've written and talked so much about fame and what it does to people, I wonder if that is a contributing factor in that a guy like Chester Bennington goes through his whole life with people telling him how great he is and how important he is and how much he means to him. But on the inside, he doesn't feel like that. And I'm wondering if that disconnect sometimes is part of what leads to some of these problems and this confusion.
I'm going to answer that question, but I just do want to point out, we really don't know yet what happened here with Chester. It could have been an accident. It could have been a something. Who knows what? But it is an opportunity to talk about these things. And yes, fame, you know, we did some research, and fame for people that really strive to be famous is an attempt to solve a problem. The problem is sort of narcissistic injury and trauma and unpleasant feelings that we were just talking about. And it, of course, doesn't. It kind of works in the moment, but it leaves you with the same feelings. And that's very disappointing. Now you're a public figure, and now you're open to shame and guilt and all these other feelings, and you're sort of creating a pseudo-self and hiding your real self. And yes, this is what happens with fame. And this thing that was supposed to solve your problem is just generating more, and it's stressful, and there are people around you that sort of insulate you from, you know, consequences that the rest of us would have. You know, if the rest of us were depressed or using substances, someone would take us to treatment. Well, not when you have an entourage necessarily, or you've got a tour you have to go on. So, yes, fame does confound the issues.
All right. I got one more question for you, Dr. Drew. And we opened up the show talking about this. And one of the things that seemed so frustrating in this situation is Chester Bennington was a guy who was extremely in touch with his feelings, extremely aware of the danger. He has spoken so openly in the past about his trauma, about his drug and alcohol abuse. Yet he still couldn't see through if it in fact was a suicide. He still couldn't see through to pick up the phone and make that call. We're all left behind thinking, what else could we have done? In Chester's case, I feel like there's nothing else we could have done. Well, he had all the tools. He knew they were available to him, yet still chose not to. So I don't know how that's supposed to make us feel.
It brings out two very important points, which is that the most dangerous populations are the ones that are intent upon doing this. If indeed this was an intentional act, there are some people that keep very quiet about it, set it up, and just do it. The other thing it reminds us is, and this is, I think, at the core of your question, Bean, is that these feelings pass. They always pass. It's very unusual. You know, people can have chronic recurrent suicidal thinkings, but they never just all the time. And so if you're ever in that mode of feeling that way, you have to speak up because and get somewhere safe or have somebody around you because they will pass. That's why we hold people for 3 days when they become suicidal, because at the end of that, they look back and go, oh, geez, thank you for holding me because I don't feel that way anymore. It's the ultimate tragedy in all this is that these are temporary feelings that have permanent tragic results.
We have been giving out the phone number for the last 24 hours a lot, and I want to make sure we hit it again here. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. If you or someone you know is considering suicide, I assume you endorse them as well, Doctor?
Yes, yes. No, absolutely. Listen, talk to somebody. And this is a good line. They're trained to have active listening. And, you know, just that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Just tell somebody, have somebody around you, talk to somebody, and it does get better. It does. And get treatment. And remember, you know, if you have the next layer to this, let's say you're not having suicidal thoughts, but you are severely depressed, you are using drugs and alcohol, remember these are potentially fatal illnesses, and it's a medical emergency if you start thinking about harming yourself.
DrDrew.com is the website for all the podcasts.
Doc, hold on. I'm sorry. Do you need some help with the dogs?
I really do. This is quite a circus.
Do you need Caesar Milan to come over there?
Would you come over here, please?
What's
what are you
going
guys?
On?
All right. We'll let you go deal with that, Doc. Thank you for jumping on today. We appreciate it.
All right. See you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Eli Roth joins us talking Shark Week coming up right after the top of the hour. And then Allie, if you wonder, Allie, what does successful radio personality Ellen McKay do with the rest of her time? She just fights with random strangers on the telephone all day.
She yells at strangers.
We're going to hear that story in a brand
new
interview.
She yells at us. Why shouldn't she yell at strangers?
Right?
Sure.
It's all yelling all the time.
Right? So screamy.
She just gets warmed up in the morning, and then she goes home and takes it out on everyone else. First, though, Ralph is in San Diego, home of Comic-Con 2017, broadcasting live all morning long. Now, Ralph, you did your Batman tribute last night to the great Adam West. How about a quick reminder of where else people can find you if they're down at Comic-Con this weekend?
Later on today, I will be hosting the panel with the new cast and creators of the new Amazon show, The Tick, which, of course, is based on the popular comic book that was then an animated series and another live-action series, and this is the latest incarnation. I've seen several episodes of this thing. I'm telling you, It is flat out funny. Peter Serafinowicz, if you're not familiar with the British actor, he's in a ton of Edgar Wright's films. He did the trilogy with Edgar and Simon Pegg and Frost. And they just, he's just so good in this. So we're going to be talking to everybody from that, connected to that this afternoon. Tonight, it's Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith at the American Comedy Company here in the Gas Lamp District. Then, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, it's me and Seth MacFarlane and the cast and creators of Family Guy for another panel. So it's going to be a busy weekend.
Super fun. All right, what else is going on in showbiz?
Well, I rarely do fashion stuff, you know. But I saw this and I said, well, this is Kevin's line. This is the line Kevin will finally... Haute couture... wearing the latest fashionable clothing line. Kevin, you'll be happy to know that McDonald's has now launched its own clothing line.
Now we're getting somewhere.
The McDonald's Delivery Collection, it's called. Several perfect for Kevin fashion items include the adult-sized onesie.
I'm in.
Which looks like a giant French fry.
Kevin, if there is not a photo at krock.com of you in a French fry onesie, then you're not living your life right.
They've got McDonald's food-themed sweatsuits, sandals, hamburger pillowcases, which I'm afraid Kevin might try to eat in an ambient-fueled nightmare.
How dare you?
All kinds of amazing items, and you can get these for you. Let me see. How do you do it? You can get some of them for free by ordering meals from McDonald's restaurants in select cities using the Uber Eats app. Apparently, that's the hook. If you use that to have McDonald's delivered to you, you can get some of these free clothes.
So it's find a city that has it and then order from McDonald's through Uber. And then they'll bring me a onesie.
I think LA has it.
And then they'll bring me a onesie, maybe.
You have done a lot worse for a lot less. I'll have you know that.
That's very true.
Now, running Kevin, around with your Nerf guns.
You do love McDonald's. You have often said it is your favorite restaurant in the world. Would you wear...
How many times a week, Kevin? How many times a week you eat McDonald's?
Probably only two now, but I cut it way back.
He was doing every day there for a while. You'd wear McDonald's branded clothing, right?
Well, look at me.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the downside? Yeah.
I mean, your body is McDonald's branded clothing when you think about it.
How dare you?
It's just been announced that Lena Dunham will be the star of the upcoming Season 7 of American Horror Story. The theme of American Horror Story in Season 7 is Lena Dunham taking off her clothes on the set of Girls. See, because...
Right.
That would be, that would be horrible.
Right. It's
horrible.
Scary. That happened a lot.
Horror. Horror.
Right.
Taron Egerton. Soon to be seen in Kingsman.
Yes.
The sequel to the first Kingsman.
With the
sortie feet. He will be playing... With sortie feet, exactly. I don't think she'll be in the second one, though. She was just the first.
So.
I think she dies in the first one.
She did.
Taron Egerton will play Elton John in the new movie about his life.
Really?
Interesting.
Yes, it's called Rocket Man. It's called Rocket Man. And it's the story of Elton John. Now, here's the kicker. This is my favorite part. Elton is producing the film himself. So he gets to choose who plays him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Originally, do you know who Elton had tapped to play him?
No.
In his life story?
No.
Tom Hardy.
What?
Oh, Elton.
I kid you not.
What?
Tom Hardy was originally cast to play Elton, but it never happened because he couldn't handle the singing. What? So now he has picked Taron Egerton. An equally strapping and attractive young man to play
Elton
himself.
Has Elton seen himself?
Elton has
a weird
view of himself.
That's a great view of yourself.
What, is Ed Sheeran busy? That's the guy who should be playing him. Now, Taron can sing. He's actually an excellent singer. He was in that animated film, Sing, and he was terrific in it. So he will be handling all the singing duties as well.
I mean, I guess we would all pick somebody very attractive to play us if we had that choice, but at some point you do strain credulousness, right? Is that a word? Credulousness?
I mean, whatever. Yeah, whatever you said.
Credibility maybe would have been a better word.
I'm down with that.
Yes, I agree. But look, I think Taron's a great actor, so it's an interesting story. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And in geek news, since I'm down here in San Diego for the Comic-Con, it's just been announced that Noah Hawley, who is the genius behind, first of all, Fargo...
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who put that on television. Also created Legion. Kevin, I know you're a Legion fan.
So much.
He's just announced that he is working on a brand new feature film for 20th Century Fox based on the classic Marvel villain Doctor Doom, who, of course, fought the Fantastic Four. for the majority of his career. No word whether the Fantastic Four will show up in this film or not, or whether this rebooting the franchise with the villain first, but Dr. Doom will be the focus of his film. Dr. Doom, apparently, in the new version, wants to build a wall around Mexico.
Is that right?
And repeal and replace Obamacare. I don't know what that's all about.
Weird plot.
Strange
plot. I'm Donald
Trump, line.
And I approve this message.
I'm Dr. Doom, okay? I hate the Fantastic Four. First of all, why does that guy stretch so much, okay? I don't believe it. Fake news. I don't think he even stretches.
As we look at today's birthdays, Cat Stevens is 69 years old today. John Lovitz is 60. Gary Trudeau, cartoonist who gave us Doonesbury, 69 years old today. Actor and legendary movie director Norman Jewison is 91. Allie Landry's 44. Josh Hartnett is 39 years old. And Fitz of Fitz and the Tantrum celebrates 47 today.
We could be screaming till the sun comes out.
Love that band.
Oh, they're so good.
Love that band.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I swear to God, every year it's the same thing. I go, all right, they got to be out. They can't have anything new to do with sharks, right?
Love
they
it
have
so much.
The thing's been on since I was like four. This Shark Week has been on the Discovery Channel.
And the fun about Shark Week is that they show all of the previous ones as well.
Yes.
So you can watch it around the clock pretty much.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is fascinating, but you go, okay, but now they're out, right? And then every year they manage to come up with amazing new stuff for Shark Week. And once again this year, we are delighted to announce that Shark After Dark is going to be back starting this Sunday and through Thursday, hosted by our friend Eli Roth, who joins us back on the phone on K-Rock right now. How are you, Eli?
Good, guys. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well. I love the story, and if you wouldn't mind sharing it with our audience, about how you first encountered sharks in person, and this is not a reaction you expect from most people, but fell deeply in love with them.
It was weird. I've always felt, you know, people have like a weird psychic connection in their head to different animals. I always thought I had that with sharks. In my mind, I was like, no matter what I do in life, I'm going to wind up dying by being eaten by a shark. I'm like 100% certain of it. So part of it, to get over the fear of it, Discovery offered me the opportunity to go diving, and I went in the Bahamas, and there was a shark that swam up, and if you tickle them under their nose, it's where all the nerve endings are, and you hold them in what's called tonic. It's the state where they sort of get immobilized, and they kind of like their eyes roll back, and they enjoy the scratching. So I was holding this shark, this wild shark, and I'm not in a cage or anything, and, you know, I took out my regulator, and I gave her a kiss, and I felt this very, like, strange psychic connection to the shark. And then after I got out, there's a video on YouTube that says shark asks divers for help, and this shark had been swimming around the divers with a hook caught in its gills.
Oh no.
And actually went up to the divers and let them take the hook out, and then started swimming around and coming back every day for food. So that was the first time I realized, you know, in the trailer for Jaws, they're like, it is a mindless eating, killing machine. And I said, no, these are much, much closer to dogs than I ever realized.
Some of them, though, are killers.
Some of them are dicks, though. Right. Like, let's be honest.
None of them are. Six humans are dicks. Six people a year die from shark bites. 100 million sharks are killed by humans every year.
Eli, have you stayed in touch with this shark? It sounds like you had a really interesting connection.
Yeah, well, it got weird because she was like,
no, Kevin, it's not like that. It's not like that.
Not the porn song. Let Eli talk.
Sorry, Eli. It's love, not sex.
It was love, and it got weird. She was, like, trolling my Instagram. And I kind of had to block her.
Oh, no.
A bit of a stalker, but it was all right.
I got to tell you, that's a dream of mine, is to swim with sharks. That would be the greatest thing.
It's instantaneous. The change of... You get down there, and then I swam the next year with tiger sharks. And this year, and you'll see it on Shark After Dark, they sent me in Tahiti to an area called Fakarava, to what's called the Wall of Sharks, where you're swimming in what's a wall of like 200 or 300 sharks.
Oh my
gosh. It was like the most peaceful thing I've ever done. You're underwater. They don't care about you. They're not like we're not in their food chain. They have no interest in us.
Right, and but just one of them could mistake you, right, for a food?
They could, but really, the basic rule is don't act like a fish. You know, here's the thing, that the function of sharks in the ocean is to keep them clean, and they do that. They're like the doctors of the sea. They eat the sick and dying and injured fish. So So when fish are sick and dying and they're, you know, they're cut open, they're flipping around. So when you're kicking your feet in the water, they're looking at the vibration. They think it's a fish, and they're generally just taking an investigative bite. Same thing when they see a surfer. They think it's a seal. They're not interested in eating us. So another thing I realized is that if you blow bubbles, they freak out and swim away. Like, a shark will come right up to you, and if you reach out and if you touch it, they don't want anything to do. They don't understand arms. When you blow bubbles, exhaling is very weird to them. So they freak out. Like, I saw a tiger shark, and to get close to it, I had to hold my breath and swim up. And as soon as I exhaled and the shark saw the bubbles, I mean, this thing could have bitten me in half. She swam away.
That is the first time I have ever heard anyone give that advice.
I heard poke them in the eyes. That's all I've ever heard.
Well, the thing is, when you're at the surface, most people are swimming by where there's a pier, and where there's a pier, people are throwing dead fish in because they're chumming. And that's what it is. Like, I cut my hand underwater, and I thought, oh, God, all the sharks are going to be torn me. They had no interest. They could care less. I was like, you guys haven't seen Glorious Bastards? You know, like Hostel?
were your feelings hurt? Like, I'm not interested enough?
Like, I have a lot of Twitter followers. I have a blue check mark and everything. They didn't care. It meant nothing to them.
Dying to go to the Wall of Sharks. That sounds awesome.
That does sound cool, actually.
By the way, we fly to Tahiti, and this is all, you know, for Shark After Dark, and we go there, and there's one other boat there, and it's James Cameron. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. He was literally the only other person that was diving at the Wall of Sharks. But we went. It's spectacular. You look at them, and it's like this area is a protected area. There's 800, like, there's apparently about 800 sharks. There's so many different species that live there. And there's no bites. Nobody gets bit because the sharks are, because it's a protected reef, they have enough fish to eat. They're not interested. They're truly not interested in eating humans.
All right.
But, you know, of course, the only time we would hear about a shark, nobody has sharks as pets. So the only time you're going to hear about them, of course, is when there's a bite.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the voice of our friend Eli Roth on the phone. We're talking about Shark After Dark, which is it's the last part of primetime every night during Shark Week on Discovery, right?
Yeah, it's like the Jimmy Fallon for Shark Week. It's like the wrap-up show that we started doing. We realized that people, you know, they started it because people were still watching. The programming would end at 11 o'clock, and people were still watching. So we created this show where all the different people that you see on the show that night, like, I always wonder who the hell is filming this stuff. You know, what's it like to be, you're seeing the shark, but who's the guy holding the camera? So you'll pair it up with one of the scientists or one of the photographers from the show that night, but also Charlize Theron came on, Tony Hale from Veep, Regina Hall from Girls Trip, Chris Hardwick, Anthony Jeselnik, like a really, really fun group of people. So we pair up like, you know, a celebrity or an actor or comedian with one of the experts that you've seen on the show. It's just a chance to talk deeper about what it was like making that program.
Yeah, it's amazing the lineup that you have, and you mentioned a bunch of the names. You didn't have to interview Michael Phelps, did you, Eli?
No, I wanted to interview Michael Phelps.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
I would love to interview Phelps.
Have you?
No, here's the thing. You don't. But Phelps apparently now is, like, got it. Like, he's really, really into sharks. I mean, everyone that comes on the show is either a shark fan or, like, Tony Hale, deathly afraid of them.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, Moby came on because he loves animals and he's interested. So everyone has a fascination with them to some degree. But, you know, after Phelps got in the water, apparently he's now, like, super hooked on it.
Yeah, but he still can't give a good interview. That's all. That's the only thing I'm saying.
That's giving you a tip here.
He is TV deaf, man, that Michael Phelps. I mean, look, the guy's great in the water. He sucks on land. That's all I'm saying. I'm rooting for the shark in Shark versus Phelps, too, by the way.
I know. Olympic gold, television deaf.
Exactly. All right. Discovery Channel, it begins this Sunday, and Shark After Dark every night, Sunday through Thursday. Great lineup, great guests. Eli Roth, as you can tell, very passionate about the sharks. We love having you on the show, man. You're welcome anytime. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you. Thank you.
If you or someone you know is really depressed, possibly even considering suicide, there is always help available at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. We've been talking all morning as we remember our late friend Chester Bennington from the band Linkin Park. You're invited to text us anytime with your thoughts and comments at 1-800-520-1067. And you can find this piece of tape, this interview with Mike Shinoda at KROQ.com. It's fascinating because the band was scheduled to appear on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and they were going to perform their new single. But they had just found out that friend of the band, Chris Cornell, had also lost his battle with depression. And they made a game time decision to change the song. And to hear Chester's investment and reaction to the feelings losing his friend, Chris Cornell, is especially poignant now as we recover from the news we heard yesterday about Chester himself. Check it out. Here's Mike Shinoda.
I was thinking, like, just yesterday, like, we played a show, a televised show, and we were going to play, we were booked to play the show so that we could promote our single Heavy and play that song. And then we heard the news about Chris Cornell and had a little powwow in the dressing room before we went on. And we said, you know, the thing that's good for the band to do is to play Heavy. But the right thing to do is play One More Light, because it's about the loss of a friend. And it's one of the most important songs on the record. And it may never be a single, but it's just an important song. And it's the right song to play. So that's what we ended up doing. Well, when we were doing a sound check, Chester couldn't even make it through the song. He was getting halfway through and getting choked up. And even when we did play the whole song, and it was live on TV, or taped for film for TV, he kind of just stopped, like, towards the end. Like, he missed the last couple lines of it, just couldn't finish the song. Fans were crying in the audience, and I think it was cathartic. I think it was good, because the message of the song, I think the reason is, the message of the song is, when you're dealing with something so deep as you know, losing a friend, or in this case, even just somebody you admire, somebody you look up to, one of the things that I think you can do is to reach out to people and offer them, like, community. Like, let them know, like, we're a family, we're a community, like, we care about each other. Even, you know, whether it's a friend who's lost somebody or a family member, whatever, to reach out and let them know, even that you're thinking about them, is sometimes that's enough.
Runs out if a moment is all we are. one more light goes out, will I do?
An amazing song.
Yeah. What a voice.
I'm gonna miss
what
a that voice. Voice. Gonna miss that voice. Gonna miss that guy.
Russell writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, thank you for playing One More Light. I have goosebumps right now. R.I.P. Chester." Yeah, we're all feeling that way here this morning. But that is that's a beautiful song.
Allie told us something yesterday that sort of shocked us as we got into a conversation about getting phone calls from people on your cell phone, salespeople. Wrong numbers seem to be just skyrocketing all of a sudden.
It's an influx lately.
I saw a piece on CBS Evening News a few weeks ago about this exact thing, where people can clone your phone number and make it appear like you're the one who's making the solicitation calls. And then what happens is they start calling you back and yelling at you, and you don't even know about it.
Yeah, I had no idea about any of this. All I know is I'm trying to relax. Got a little bit of jet lag, and my phone rings, and I don't know the number, so I put it to voicemail, and then it rings again within seconds. I put it to voicemail, and usually what I do is I go through. If someone doesn't leave a voicemail and it's a number I don't know, I block it because it's obviously a telemarketer, right?
Right.
And every time I went to actually do that, they'd call again. So I'd have to get out of that screen and put them to voicemail again. And I thought, okay, this is now seven times in a row.
Did you worry that it was some kind of a terrible family emergency or something and you didn't recognize the number? Not at all. No, you
not
just thought,
even a little bit.
But because sales calls don't usually come right back one after another.
That's why I finally answered and I screamed, "What?"
That was, you didn't say was, hello.
No, I just screamed, "What?" And this guy goes, "What? You call me. You call me every week. Why do you keep calling me?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "You keep calling me." I'm like, "I've never called you, sir. You just called me six times in a row because you just called me." And I'm like, "I didn't
what
call
is
you."
Happening?
I literally, it's like my brain's about to explode.
When
why are we now screaming at each other?
When you yelled what? Mm-hmm. What were the chances in your mind that he would come back and yell at you?
None.
That's crazy.
None. I thought it was going to be a guy saying, "Hi, ma'am. I'd like to talk to you about your computer. You seem to have a virus."
Right. You're saying, "Take me off your list."
Exactly.
Right.
But he was convinced I was calling him weekly.
Is this a thing that we're not aware of, where sales calls can literally take Allie's phone?
That's what
Bean
just
mentioned.
Just said,
but is that really a deal?
I don't know.
It is.
So it looks like Allie is calling somebody, or I am calling somebody because they're aping my number.
That's exactly right.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's a program, I guess, that they came up with to mask the number that they're calling from. So it basically makes it impossible to track them down. How did the rest of the conversation go with this guy?
They're meeting for
coffee. We're having coffee later.
Would it be awesome if you guys got married? That'd just be awesome.
No.
But I wonder, did either of you calm down and accept what the other was saying to the point where you both realized that neither of you were
No, he just kept screaming at me, and I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to block you. You block me. We're done." And then I hung up.
That's a sad breakup to a beautiful start.
Yeah, very, very sad. but interesting
isn't
thing
that
was,
how all your relationships end, Allie, is with that exact sentence?
Well, mostly I wouldn't pick up and say what. I'd just keep doing to voicemail. But here's the thing. It was my area code, and the beginning three numbers of my phone were the same as his.
Oh,
so I wonder if that kind of came into play at all. But it was bizarre to actually pick up and be so annoyed at a telemarketer and realize, oh, no, he's yelling at me because he thinks I'm a telemarketer.
Right, but then you had to think, but I don't call him every week.
I have been in London for a week, sir. I am not wasting my minutes on you.
Hey, guys, kind of related to this is we've all gone on the website and signed up for the do not call. All of us have, right?
Of course.
Why does that do nothing?
I don't know. I just assume they figured a way to get around it.
I mean,
it did for a while. It did for a while. Like, it would block most of those numbers, but
I feel like I get more calls than ever before.
Same.
Absolutely.
And I can't figure out, like, what's the actual point of the do not call registry if you can't get on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I figured these companies just find a way to get around it. Mm-hmm. But
if they put Hector on hold, I'd love to talk to him real quick just before we go to the break. Oh, great. This is Hector Whittier, line two. He may be able to shed some light on what was happening to you on your phone yesterday, Allie.
Hey, Hector.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
So there is an app that you guys can download, and it actually lets me make calls with other people's numbers or just fake numbers.
You're calling to contribute to the conversation that now more people can do this thing that got Allie so mad yesterday.
What's the app? Because I want to call from Bean's number. I'll do it all day.
it's basically called Fake Caller ID. And there's a lot of them on the App Store that you can download.
Oh, so this there's a ton of different ones you could use.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. Certain ones work, certain ones don't. They eventually have to keep changing, I guess, the apps. I don't know if it's just because of a legal thing.
Why would they create an app like this, by the way?
And why would Hector use it? What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to wonder, is there any legitimate, helpful reason you would need an app like this, Hector?
The real question should be, why wouldn't someone use it?
Right, I mean, Hector's got a point. Right. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it, Hector. I want to just squeeze in one more, and it's Ron in Burbank. Hi, Ron.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We are okay. Can you explain to us what's going on here?
Yes, it's called spoofing. Basically, you, as Hector said, you have this app, and let's say you want to call from a rival business. You will just put in that rival business's phone number, and people, when they look at the phone, they say, oh, this rival business is calling me, and what do they want? Or I want to say I'm from Kerox. So I'll put in the 1-800 number on the computer, and whoever I call, they'll say, I'm calling from Kerox. And I could say the Power 106 sucks or whatever.
It doesn't seem like there's any good use for this. It seems like there's only evil intentions possible with
not evil
program
fun.
Like this.
You
can
Bean.
Call old people and just, you know,
careful.
You harass them into getting insurance, and then if they don't want the insurance, you
Ron,
just badmouth them, and then they'll
Ron,
destroy
you. Ron,
you're the worst. Wrong with you.
If you'd like to give Ron a call, his number is 310.
The insurance agent. That's what exactly happened to me. Then you get death threats from their family members saying,
"Hey, Ron,
what just happened?
Hey, Ron,
with Ron,
I'm going to start giving out your phone number until you hang up. I'm going to give out your phone number. You ready?" Call, you could spoof Ron at 310-770. You still on the line, Ron?
Yeah.
7-3.
Ron,
you want me to keep going?
No.
You want me to keep going? Oh, he's gone now.
Look at Bean bringing the hammer down on Ron.
Wow.
We'll go back down to San Diego for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. He's down there for Comic-Con all weekend long. First, though, hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You ready to get into a little internet roundup?
Timely, yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah, brace yourself up. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your feeling. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. It's Kevin and Beans, yo, internet roundup.
Wow, the very rare beer mug cover version. I like it.
Guys, what if one day somebody heard that and then contacted him and he became a huge rap star?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd
be
awesome. Yeah.
That would be the best.
I'd be in his posse.
Yeah. Dave, we got a nice batch of videos here, including a great honest trailer for the film Memento as we prepare for Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk in theaters this weekend. Got some great Planet of the Apes stuff up there. The honest trailer interview guys interview Caesar, Andy Serkis. What about this, the guys who sneak backstage to McGregor Mayweather? What about that? Now, we've always heard you should never put tickets. If you have tickets to a show, you should never put them up online because somebody can easily copy them and make it seem like a real ticket and get your seat, right?
Yeah, people were doing that for a long time where they were just excited about the show. So they take a picture of their ticket.
Yeah, and you scan the you take a picture and you use the barcode and it's the same one, so it works.
Right.
So
if you get the first, same thing with airline tickets. That's why you shouldn't post airline tickets on your social media. Well, these guys saw that others were posting backstage passes for this McGregor Mayweather press conference in London, and they just printed them out, laminated them, and went everywhere.
Yeah, it's this one guy, Zach Elsop, and he's a YouTuber, and he produced guest passes, promoter passes,
the whole thing,
and he got back and walked out with McGregor. He walked out with him.
Yes, that's pretty strong. No business being there at all. Anyway, you definitely want to check that out. We got some audio for some though. Now that Game of Thrones is back, and I think I heard, by the way, that season 7, episode 1. Did I hear this right, you guys? Did you hear also it was the most watched HBO show ever? Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Insane numbers for the return of Game of Thrones. It's only got 2 seasons left, but with Game of Thrones coming back, that means Gay of Thrones is back. Our favorite hairdresser Jonathan is doing his recap.
So at first, I'm like, is this Flashback Friday?
The man who helped me slaughter the Starks at the Red Wedding.
And then I was like, no, actually, it's Woman Crush Wednesday because Baby K-Stew is serving Scooby-Doo snacks and Jonestown wines to everybody.
Sykes!
And BT-dubs, Baby K-Stew will forevermore be known as Baby Kill Bill because she's got a list and she's killing everybody.
When people ask you what happened here, tell them the North remembers.
So then Baby Kill Bill is sauntering through the woods. She runs into your auntie's favorite sexually non-threatening number one hit recording artist, Ed Sheeran.
If I hear that song one more time, Shape of You or Piece of You or whatever the it is, it's on repeat at my gym and I feel like I'm in the 7th circle of hell. I don't like his music and he has too many vowels in his name.
It's kind of hard to argue with that. That's a great, great recap. Even if you don't watch Game of Thrones, you should be checking out the Gay of Thrones. Alex Jones from Infowars.com, our favorite conspiracy theorist. He's this guy.
I don't like him putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
So there's a dude who thought, you know what, Alex Jones yells a lot and maybe his message is getting obscured by the fact that he's kind of tough to listen to. But what if he sounded like a gentle indie rock artist like Bon Iver? His name is Nick Lutzko, and he has taken actual things that Alex Jones says, synced it up with the video, but sang it like he was Bon Iver, and it comes out pretty great.
Hillary's in the creepy, weird, sick stuff, man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy, weird woman whose mother wears her foot over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
He said all that.
Yeah, he said all of that.
He did. And finally, on today's Internet Roundup, I love this video so much. I love that somebody came up with the idea. Skip Bayless is an ESPN 2 personality. He's on 2, right?
Now he's on Fox Sports.
Oh, now he's on Fox Sports. Yeah,
he has,
One.
He has his own show now called The Undisputed, right?
Yeah, with Shannon Sharp.
That's a weird show, by the way. Well, somebody realized that wouldn't it be great to have Skip Bayless debate himself, because he says a lot of crazy stuff, and I don't know how much of it he believes, but he often then comes back and says a lot of crazy stuff that's the opposite of the first crazy stuff he said. And this is a great example of sportscaster Skip Bayless debating himself on the value of Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is historically, transcendentally, specially great.
Nope.
You know why? Because Aaron Rodgers is hot. And Aaron Rodgers is cold.
Are you kidding me?
He is not consistently historically great, transcendentally great. He's above anybody who's playing this game on a human level right now. He's also the most overhyped quarterback in the history of pro football. That is the most laughable statement you have ever made in the history of this show. Okay? So it's Aaron bleepin' Rodgers.
He's
Aaron Rodgers. E-R-R-A-N-T Rodgers. Here's what you won't have an answer for. The play of the game and the play of the year and the play of this century. That was special. There was nothing special about this play.
Yes.
I think he believes every word of all of that.
Pretty well done. I'm so confused.
That's pretty well done. Yeah, the video is amazing. So see that and see all the videos right now or anytime at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's, yo, Internet Roundup.
106.7 KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
For the last couple of months, we've been doing a feature called Keep It 100 Fridays.
Keep just it 100.
That's it, yeah. Just after 9 a.m. every Friday, we open up the text line at 1-800-520-1067 and give you a chance to request any K-Rock song. Anything you want that we have, we'll play. Ralph, we were on vacation last week, but you and a listener got together and cooked up Suicidal Tendencies Institutionalized last week.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it
is
was awesome.
It's awesome, yeah. And it could be the B-52s or Eminem or anything. That's what we've been doing in the past. We're going to put that on hold for just this week because we thought it might be a nice tribute, a nice way for you to kind of share in the community grieving that we have going on here today about Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. So, for today only, Keep It 100, 1-800-520-1067. We want to know what Linkin Park song do you want to hear? And please, when you text us, make sure to give us your name. And also, if you have anything you'd like to add about Linkin Park, about Chester, about how they have influenced you or how much you'll miss them, we'd love to hear from you as well on that. So, what's your favorite Linkin Park song? 1-800-520-1067. Text it to us. The 100th texter gets their song, and we'll talk to you on the radio, too, coming up just after 9 with Keep It 100. Ralph's in San Diego. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, I got news about your pal Kevin Spacey, who you guys just talked to this morning.
Yes. Oh, tell us.
It's just been announced. He is going to be starring in a brand new original Netflix movie called Gore, based on the life, of course, of Gore Vidal. And Kevin, of course, Gore Vidal was...
the guy that almost was the president of the United States. In an inconvenient truth.
Oh, sweet spirit.
Oh.
He was kidding, you guys. He doesn't know who Gore Vidal is, but he knows he's not Al Gore.
That's correct. Okay. That's right, B.
Yeah, he's a famous writer who, of course, was larger than life, had an enormous amount of high-profile friends, and would hang out with the likes of, you know, Paul Newman and Andy Warhol and Mick Jagger. And he was a larger-than-life author.
I loved him, by the way.
Thanks for that input.
No, he was just one of those guys that every time he was on TV, and he used to do all those debates with William F. Buckley and everything.
Yes,
back in the
he
day,
did.
Rob,
he was a legendary progressive, and Buckley was a legendary conservative, and they would debate often.
And they were fantastic.
And yet were great pals. They were great friends as well.
Yes, but he was just, he's one of those guys who was so smart and made so much sense. Even if you disagreed with him, you loved him. You know what I mean? He was just that guy because he was just a great intellectual.
And cutting is... F too, which just yes. could just destroy you with a phrase or a turn of a word and just make you cry.
Spacey
which,
is
which,
great.
Which is what I loved. Naturally.
Yeah, great casting, by the way. That's perfect.
Yes, he's going to be terrific. So, guys should have asked him about that today.
Yeah,
well,
we didn't
know. Work, man.
It hadn't been announced yet, so.
Well, that's hardly an excuse.
I'd love to replay, if we have time, I'd love to replay that Kevin Spacey interview for folks who weren't with us earlier this morning because in the first 5 seconds... of being on the phone with us, he said the F word.
Yeah, God bless him.
I mean, that happened.
You don't really expect for an Academy Award winning guest on the show, but the F word immediately out of his mouth.
And
did we call him
on it? No, we did not. Because he's Kevin Spacey.
No, he says whatever he wants.
Right. Whatever.
Kevin didn't even hit the dump button.
I didn't hear it.
Well, the Kevin Spacey defense. If he can't say it, no one can say it.
That's right. Congratulations to Stevie Wonder. Stevie just got married again. This is Yeah, his wife number 3. His fiance is 42 years old. He is 67. Not so bad. Stevie was at the wedding, naturally, along with Babyface.
Really?
And Pharrell and Usher. But Stevie provided the entertainment for the wedding. He played his own wedding.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I mentioned this is his third marriage, and Stevie says this is the one that's really going to work. Well... love is blind, you know. Also,
really, what's happening down in that hotel room?
I applaud that.
God damn it!
And Bean, did you buy your moon bag?
I couldn't afford it.
Did you buy the moon bag?
What's a moon bag?
I only bid up to $1 million, and after that, I was out.
What's a moon bag?
The moon bag.
What's
Kevin?
A moon bag?
It's a bag from the moon. This was a bag that NASA used. In fact, it was used by a gentleman named Neil Armstrong during his first walk on the surface of the moon. Used this bag to collect moon rocks and bring them back to the United States. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how it happened, but it got out of the control of NASA and ended up in an auction where a woman named Nancy Carlson paid $995 for it.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
Now, the NASA, the agency, found out about this sale and went to her and said, you cannot own that because it is federal property. It's ours, and it's from the Apollo 11 mission, the first trip to the moon, and it's an important artifact, and give it back. And she said no and took NASA to court, and a federal judge in December ruled that it legally belonged to her.
Yeah, she legitimately bought it from the government.
And it was hers to do with what she wanted. So she put it up for auction this week.
Oh, wow.
And it sold yesterday for $1.8 million. Pretty good return on her $995 investment.
That's not a bad investment right there.
So I was just wondering if Bean, you know, with his love of space.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And his love of Buzz. Maybe Buzz got some DNA on it or something.
Right.
I figured Bean would be bidding.
I love Neil Armstrong even more than I love Buzz Aldrin, by the way. I would love to own something like that. Oh, yeah.
You're a cheater.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
You're all Buzz all the time.
Yeah. Now, well, because Buzz is alive, so we have the opportunity to talk to him and talk about him. But Neil was a man.
I'm Buzz. Would you like my moon bag?
Check out my moon bag.
Oh, no.
Here's my moon bag.
I don't want
it. No, I don't want it either.
Got a couple of moon rocks in there. You want to walk on the surface? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Cat Stevens, a.k.a. Yusuf Islam, 69 years old today. What's he going by these days, Bean? You're our Cat Stevens expert.
He's scored by both. He's happy with either name. But when you buy tickets to see him...
I bet when he flies, he's Cat Stevens.
I bet he does. That's a good point. I bet he does.
Yeah. John Lovitz is 60 years old today. Gary Trudeau, the cartoonist of Doonesbury, is 69. Norman Jewison, excellent movie director, 91 years old. Allie Landry, our friend and actress, is 44 years old. Josh Hartnett is 39. And Fitz of Fitz and the Tantrums. Oh, here we go. Fitz is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman from San Diego. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we give you the opportunity to pick the music at our text number, 1-800-520-1067. It's a little feature we call Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Bitch, I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
100, 100.
I keep it 100. I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Today we thought we might do something different in honor of the memory of our friend Chester Bennington, who we lost yesterday from the band Linkin Park. We thought, let's get your favorite Linkin Park song and memory. And let me tell you something. Going through these texts, Kevin, I know you see them too.
Yeah.
Man, were there a lot of Linkin Park songs that people loved.
Yep.
Everybody has their favorite. Everything from Shadows of the Day to Castle of Glass to Leave Out All the Rest to a lot of My Decembers today. But I think our man Miguel, is that who we is? That who ends up being number 100?
Yeah.
Let's get Miguel on the phone and find out what's up.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You're calling us from Jacksonville?
Yeah.
From
Florida?
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
I mean, look, when you guys used to do What's Up with Florida, I lived in L.A. About 10 years ago.
And you were like, there's no way all those stories are true.
Exactly. I always said, no, this is radio. And I'm like, oh, no, it's not just radio. It happens every day.
How do you live? I know this is we're getting off on a tangent here, but I'm so fascinated with someone who chooses to live in Florida. Did they already start building the wall and you can't get out, or what's happening?
I don't know why I ended up in Florida, aside from the fact that my wife is from here. But aside from that, I ask myself every day why.
I got to be honest. I would move there because I like the nonsense.
Love the crazy.
I like crazy, yeah.
And you you still keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you stream or podcast or what?
I stream when I can, and I podcast most of the time. But, something from L.A. that I could not live without.
That's very cool. Yeah, we appreciate it. All right, well, obviously we've spent the whole day talking about Chester Bennington. I'm sure you have some thoughts on it. You took the time to text in. What do you have to say about him, Miguel?
Yeah, I mean, Linkin Park has really, at least in my opinion, helped so many kids in their formative years, you know, especially, in the late 90s, 2000s, growing up. Their lyrics, even though they sounded very angry, they actually had a lot of meaning behind them. They wrote it with a point. It wasn't just to sell records or what have you. It was because they actually wanted to write something that would have a profound effect on people.
I think you're right about that. And I'll also say that I have seen Chester talk about how he would not have lived as long as he did if it had not been for music. He felt like it saved his life. And I think the ability to be able to share his feelings. And Allie, we were talking about this off the air. I mean, this is not a guy who held anything back. I mean, he went for it. You know what I mean? And the fact that he had this outlet, his way to express what he was going through. And I think that's why it connected with so many people, because so many of us are going through such painful things. And it was just a beautiful relationship that he had with his fans. And what song did you decide from Linkin Park would fit best today in your life, Miguel?
Paper Cut. I loved Paper Cut growing up because it just gave you an explanation, or so to speak, of how I feel. It talks about depression and things like that, because a lot of times we have to put up a mask, we have to put a facade, you know, where we're happy, where we're joyful, but really deep down inside we're having issues, and sometimes they go unresolved, and sometimes it's resolved in the wrong way.
That is beautifully put, Miguel. Thanks so much for listening. Say hi to your wife, and thanks a lot for requesting Paper Cut for Keep It 100.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Miguel, representing the 904 this morning for Keep It 100, requesting Linkin Park's Paper Cut in memory of our friend Chester Bennington. We'll do it again next Friday. Hey, by the way, going to replay that Kevin Spacey interview for you. He was the best, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think you'll enjoy it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 935.
Ralph Garman has been in San Diego all morning long doing the Showbiz Beat from Comic-Con 2017. It must be driving you crazy, Ralph, to have all of that entertainment just outside the door where you are and have to be doing this dumb show.
Oh, I'm just wasting so much time not being on the floor. There's a rumor. I can't confirm it because I'm busy with you jackholes.
Right.
But there's a rumor that there is a booth on the floor of the San Diego Comic-Con that is selling, amongst other things, a Julie Newmar screen-used Catwoman costume from the 60s Batman series.
Now, there's no possibility that you won't get in on that just because you're wasting your time here, right?
Well, can you lend me $26,000?
Bean has that in his pocket.
Is that what they're asking for?
That's what it's going for. That's the rumor. That's the word on the street, which I can't confirm because I'm here talking about O.J. Simpson.
Right. Is there a possibility that may end up in the Bat Museum at your home?
Not at those numbers.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Because then Mrs. Batman greets me at the door with a length of chain.
Yes.
And a baseball bat with some nails driven through it.
Do you call
her
Mrs.?
Long conversation.
You call her Mrs. Batman?
If it's a good night.
Okay.
No, sir. Yes. No, sir.
Unfortunately, yes. She probably lets him on his birthday. She probably that one
time
day a year.
To she slide down the bat pole, old chum.
Okay. All right. Let's
Let me
switch.
Just put on my utility belt or my fertility belt, depending on who you ask.
You mentioned O.J. Simpson. Has he done anything to screw up the parole he was granted yesterday yet?
Well, it's still early. It's still early, but yesterday, of course, the news is he is on his way to freedom. His 33-year sentence at Lovelock Correctional Center has been paroled, and he will be out October, it looks like. So barring any major screw-ups between now and then, he'll be walking among us again. And already people are asking, does he have a future in Hollywood? Would anyone dare give him a reality show or cast him in something? Could he be seen on our television sets?
I can't imagine.
I heard a guy on TV yesterday, and I don't know whether he was just talking off the top of his head or he had information, but he said that almost every company that makes reality TV shows in Hollywood is in the bidding war to get O.J. Simpson on their show.
See, that's why when people say, oh, no, what? No, I go, are you kidding me? I'm sure there's no morality when it comes to reality television deals.
Right.
They give it to Cash Me Outside, mm-hmm. How About That, Tan Mom, Octomom. The most repugnant people on the planet have been given television shows. They're not gonna miss an opportunity with one of the most famous guys in the world.
And the thing is, for OJ, though, is it just his insatiable appetite to be loved that would get him to say yes? Because he can't be any more famous than he already is. He's not doing it for that. And he can't keep any of the money because of the civil judgment. So really, if he
well,
does it...
Well, here's the thing.
Yes, tell me.
You're right, but he's got to pay off that judgment.
But he doesn't have to.
Right.
If he doesn't have the money. That's what
any money he makes, Kevin, if it's from his NFL pension...
That's safe. His pension is safe, right?
Yeah, he does it. They can't touch his pension. That's the only money they can't touch.
Anything he makes beyond that,
yes,
immediately goes to them.
Right.
So if you want to try to reclaim any sort of wealth, you have to pay off that bill first.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So take a lucrative reality show deal?
Yeah, maybe
get
so.
All that money, get the Goldmans off your back financially, and then start amassing some personal wealth.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I bet he could get $10 million from the right company, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. So he could probably write his own deal.
That would go away toward paying that off. I just think it would be so distasteful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true. They don't usually put distasteful reality shows on.
I didn't think
about the distastefulness.
No, I'm not saying they won't. I'm just saying, wouldn't you have an icky, like, would you feel like you'd want to tune in and watch that and support that?
Me? No.
Or do you feel like you'd have to because
it's
O.J. Simpson?
What do you think about the rest of the world?
Bean, you're missing a very important part, and that's this.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
Well, he is the juice.
I say Bachelor's in Paradise. Send him to the island. See if he can meet someone. He deserves love, right?
We were talking off air.
It becomes like a murder mystery when they start disappearing one by one.
We were talking off air earlier, Ralph. OJ wouldn't have any trouble finding a lady to sleep with him his first night out of prison, right?
No, of course not. Are you kidding me?
Because he's that famous.
Fame. Fame is the ultimate aphrodisiac, especially
right,
in certain circles.
But murder doesn't trump fame?
I mean, I think it would for a lot of people, but would he find people? Yeah, of course.
He hasn't murdered everyone he slept with. The odds are in your favor.
That's
I think
true.
If you don't marry him, you're probably okay.
All right. Way to put a positive spin on that.
Thank you. That's what I like to do. I like to find the silver lining.
Ralph does.
Here's some casting news. Bill Hader is in talks to co-star with Anna Kendrick in the movie that I hate the most that I haven't seen yet.
No.
It is called Nicole, and it's the story of Santa Claus's daughter who has to take over the family business when her father retires. Stop
Allie
it.
Just put
you
her
stop it.
Both hands up in the victory signal. She was so excited.
No one ever talks about Nicole.
Stop it.
She's not a thing.
Are you sure?
Bill Hader would play her brother, who gets cold feet prior to taking over for Dad on his big first Christmas Eve flight, and so Nicole has to step in and deliver all the presents. I'm having a hard time keeping my breakfast down just describing this movie.
Have there Sweet been a lot of movies in the past about people having to step in for Santa?
Yes, about 100 of them.
Yeah,
and Tim Allen. Mm-hmm. What was he? Racist Claus or whatever it was.
I think that was it. Yeah.
But there's a ton of time people have to step in and fill in for Santa. It's right. It's a hackneyed old plot. So Allie will enjoy that one.
I can't believe Allie's not going to be in it. Like Unaccompanied
Minors.
Maybe
time.
She'll be on a television.
There's
who
time.
Knows?
If
Paul
Feig's
directing. No, but she wants to watch it, so then she can't
That's
be in
true.
It.
It's time for the unclaimed suitcase sale.
Really? Really, Ralph? That's what we're doing?
Just saying, Perky. Come on,
Perky. Presenter. Thank you.
Perky presenter. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays today. Cat Stevens is 69 years old today. John Lovitz, he's a dick. 60 years old today.
But he knows how to run a hell of a comedy club.
He does. He didn't run that into the ground. Oh, wait. Cartoonist Gary Trudell. You know him best as the creator of Doonesbury. He's 69 years old today. Norman Jewison, very talented movie director. One of my favorites.
That
91
sounds
years old today. That's his name. His name is Norman Jewison.
Okay.
Just his name. 91 years old. Allie Landry is 44 years old. Josh Hartnett celebrates 39 years today. And our buddy Fitz of Fitz and the Tantrums. Ah, so good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's great goddamn radio.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come to think of it, no.
Roll another one.
I don't care.
Just like the other one.
Oh, what the hell's that? What's up with that?
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's an airtight argument, though.
And I need another hit.
You're going to have such great healthcare at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy.
Yes, I think that's a great idea. Fully support that. Totally love it.
Roll another one.
And I got a woo-woo!
Stop
Just
it.
Just like the other one.
Why are you the worst?
This one seems to be about to end.
Bean. Fix your goddamn life.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you? This is exasperating.
But I won't that joint.
Yeah, running wild in the streets.
Just pass it around.
Now hiring both locations.
This game's in the refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights are out, the eggs are cooling, the butter's getting hard, and the Jell-O's...
You can go now.
Oh?
Bye, Felicia.
Goodbye.
bye.
I don't even remember any of that.
Well, some things are so dull you have to block them out.
No kidding.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole when eligible, and that will conclude this hearing.
Fire must